history of comedy in the northeast of England is littered with fascinating stories, some well known, some not. In the social media age, we live in a time where it's progressively easier and easier for people from any social group in this part of the world to tell their story. Of course, as we go back through the centuries, the stories that are told tend to be from those with the money to have their stories preserved. So there will be many hundreds of stories from funny people from the region that can never now be discovered. But there are little tidbits. For example, there's the story of Thomas Fatus, a jester who worked in Durham Cathedral. Now, very little is known about Thomas, except for the fact that he was fired and replaced a week later by a monkey. Now, while that may seem harsh, I have admittedly never seen a comedian as funny as a monkey. It may be, though, that Thomas Fatus can contribute a little more to history than that. It has been suggested that his name, Thomas Fatus, Latin for Tom Fool, is where the word tomfoolery comes from. My name is Lee Kyle. I'm a stand-up comedian living in South Shields. I've long been interested in the history of comedy in the Northeast, and this is the tale of one of the oldest stories. The tale of Sir Francis Blake Delaville. And that brings us to Seton Delaville Hall. Situated today between the towns of Seton Delaville and Seton Sluice, Seton Delaville Hall is a magnificent structure, owned by the Delaville family since the 11th century. In this episode, we concentrate on a small era known as the time of the Gay Delavilles. Born on the 16th of March, 1727, Francis Blake Delaville was the son of Francis Blake Delaville and the brother of, among others, his sister, Sarah Hussey Delaville. The Gay Delavilles, as they were known, were a wealthy socialite family. They were lurid, sordid tabloid figures, and they had a cruel streak. They loved nothing more than entertaining themselves and their friends. They would put on puppet shows and ass racing and gurning competitions, and they would bite the heads off sparrows. Bite the heads off sparrows. Yep, that's right. They would bite the heads off sparrows. Were the sparrows dead? Not at first. But most of all, Francis Blake Delaville loved pranks. This quote, as with all quotes in this episode, comes from Cole's History of the Manor and Township of Doddington. Sir F.B. Delaville invited a large and brilliant company to an entertainment at Seton Delaville. The guests assembled and waited long, and seeing no signs of preparation, began to think themselves the victim of one of Sir Francis's jokes. At last, doors were thrown open, and they were ushered, not into the dining room, but into the stable. The great vaulted hall, 62 foot by 40, which occupies the eastern wing. Here, they found all the usual stable fittings removed, and a gorgeous feast laid out in a brilliantly lighted and decorated hall. He was not a comedian, he was an actor, he was a soldier, and an MP, and he threw some of the most spectacular parties of the time. He attended the prestigious Westminster School, where he suffered horrific corporal punishment, but was given incredible creative freedom, and, as the eldest son of his father, was always fully aware that he would inherit the entire estate. This led to lavish, feckless spending from which he was always rescued. His parties were fun to attend, for most. Francis did seem somewhat convinced of his own genius. He did many things that, were he not rich and privileged, and hosting the parties at which these pranks happened, may not have been laughed at quite so heartily. Francis was a gambling man. A gambling man who would do anything to win. For example, Francis and his friend Richard Lovell Edgeworth tried to prove another friend, Charles Macklin, wrong when he claimed that the words pay, pay and pay could not be pronounced differently from each other. Pay, meaning the fruit. Pay, meaning two things, or pay, meaning to separate. After many others had tried and failed to pronounce these words differently, Edgeworth went behind a curtain, where, upon pronunciation of the words, Delaval was correct almost every time. In reality, Edgeworth, with his feet visible underneath the curtain, was signalling to his friend. So while the stabling a party trick was actually delightfully whimsical, a number of his wagers and pranks were relatively mundane. They did get crueler, though, as well as more interesting. And, more than anything else, Francis Blake Delaval was an extraordinary myth-maker. He was feted for his bravery during the Seven-Year War. He was made a Knight of the Order of Bath for storming the beach at St. Malo. Although, in reality, he stormed the beach quite a while before anybody else as the result of a wager. In fact, his storming of the beach took place when the beach was absolutely empty. He built a castle in a day. Again, as part of a wager. He built Starlight Castle as a home for one of his lovers to live in. Remains of which can still be found today if you look hard enough in Seton Sluice. Of course, he didn't. He hired a number of men to make the castle in one day, after betting that it could be done. The castle was actually unlivable, making it a folly. A folly being a building that is designed to look like a building without the use of a building. There are follies found all over Britain and Ireland, many of which hint at class discrepancy in this part of the world. The pranks got crueler. In fact, Francis seemed to revel in making his less important guests doubt their sanity. Spend a night at Delaval Hall and you may have found yourself, although going to sleep in a comfortable bed, waking up in a bath of water. After all, how could you know that the bed was fitted with a pulley system? Not just humiliating, the trick was dangerous and caused obvious injuries. Clothes would be taken in overnight, the wearer in the morning would be convinced they had dropsy, a very dangerous disease that results in swelling. The pranks reached a tragic zenith. One gentleman was kept in his bed 3 whole days by making him believe it was not morning yet. Apple pie beds, ducks and chickens in beds and figures dressed up. It was a strange propensity and not very hospitable. It was at last put a stop to by one of those tricks being the occasion for loss of reason for a long time to a foolish young man on whom it was played. Amongst a large party, one person who was expected and whom the young man knew a little, was reported to have died suddenly. His death was talked of and canvassed, everyone but this youth being in the plot. In the middle of supper, at least when the servants had withdrawn, the supposed dead man appeared in the room, dressed in a shroud, with his face powdered and ghastly. The young man exclaimed he saw him. Everyone else in the room declared they saw nothing. This had so dreadful an effect upon the poor, weak-minded youth that he fell down in a fit and, when restored to life, did not recover his senses. Since that time, I understand, no tricks have been played. These cruel and spiteful tricks should seem alien to us these days, but we look at such things as hidden camera shows or YouTube pranksters and is what we laugh at always that different? Indeed, we look at the early rounds of television talent shows and what do we see there? Rich men laughing at those with what they perceive to be less to offer the world than they themselves can. It's not that much of a stretch to see a lineage. That's not to let Francis off the hook, not at all. He would use tricks not just for entertainment, but also to benefit himself. To get himself out of one of his many debts. For example, he and his friend Samuel Foote tricked a vulnerable 60-year-old widow into marriage. Isabella had fallen for Foote after seeing him acting, and he persuaded her to visit a fortune teller. Delaval, then 23, had an interest in fortune telling and had been messing around with it, just for fun. Of course, the fortune teller was a stooge and told her the following. You will be walking in the park. There, you will observe a tall, fair gentleman, remarkably handsome, dressed in blue and silver. He will bow to a person in your company the first time he meets you, and upon his return, he will join your party. It is irrevocably fixed by fate that that man is to be your husband. Her ladyship asked no more, but took care to be in the park on the day mentioned. Francis Blake Delaval appeared, dressed precisely as described, bowed, joined. That, of course, shows Sir Francis Blake Delaval in a terrible light. Not just his actions, but also his arrogance. For who else would describe himself as remarkably handsome? Francis was popular, though. When dying of a stroke on the 7th of August, 1771, his obituary said that he was the very soul of frolic and amusement, overbalanced a few foibles by 1,000 amiable qualities. Crowds flocked to see him lie in state. Such were the crushers that many had legs broken, and many more their pockets picked. It's said that you get the admirers you deserve. An interesting parallel is with his sister, Sarah Hussey Delaval. The comparison between the two shows the difference between men and women of the time. Very similar characters. He was feted, while she was a tabloid figure. While Francis Blake Delaval made the Delavals famous, Sarah Hussey Delaval made them notorious. She had affairs with the son of George III and the Earl of Strathmore. And let's remember, these were pre-Victorian times, the famous prudishness of the Victorian era had yet to take hold. And pictures of Sarah Hussey Delaval sat on a bed with a man with her décolletage visible, spread like wildfire. Sadly, this young woman, by all accounts, wild, lovely and vivacious, who was married at the young age of 16 to Lord Turkenell, died in her 30s at the mansion of her lover Lord Strathmore at Gippside. Perhaps the first in a long line of famous and scandalous young women, ironically immortalised due to a tragic early death. Sarah Hussey Delaval, though mostly forgotten today, was a transcendent figure in her time. Indeed, for all of the hullabaloo at the lying in state of Francis Blake Delaval, Sarah Hussey Delaval in 1800 was a much bigger affair. Crowds lined the street all the way from the northeast to London, where she lies today, buried among the great, the good, the famous, and the rich at Westminster Abbey. The stories of Francis Blake Delaval and Sarah Hussey Delaval tell us a lot about the times then and the times today, about the difference in treatment between the rich and the poor, between men and women. Their story is preserved and told every day at Delaval Hall. This episode of Jesters, The Forgotten Stories of Northeast Comedy, was written and narrated by Lee Kyle, with music by Sammy Dobson. It's a Felt Now production on behalf of Tyne and Weir Archives and Museums.